is good to be here, and if you're visiting with us, we're certainly thankful that you have come our way. Would encourage you, if you haven't already done so, to stop by our Welcome Center and get something from us. If you'd like to leave some information, that would be great. It's not necessary, but we do have something for you if you'd stop by there. And we always encourage everyone on the way in to grab an order of worship. On the front, there are some actual orders of worship and an outline if you'd like to follow along with the lesson in that way. On the back, several announcements and highlight just a few of those. Do remind you that we are preparing these quilt squares for a quilt that's going to be given to the Lancaster and Lang families, and you can see Diana MacArthur or Shalane Kaiser, and Shalane's going to be right over there. Shalane, and where's Diana? Right there in the back. See one of them before you leave today. Write something on one of those squares. Use your own handwriting. That's going to make it special and unique and can give hours of pleasure trying to figure out what you've written out. They'll be put together and appreciate that project. Do make a note for the sign-up board for the Big Daddy Weave. That deadline is today. Park registration, the deadline is this week if you'd like to register for that, at least pre-register. Men's retreat is coming up, and you'll be hearing more about that before we leave. Also, just remind you that we are hosting the youth area-wide, and that's going to be on March the 8th. We need some food for that. Please read that announcement. David Skidmore is going to be here, and he's going to do a wonderful job. It's going to be Sunday night. Encourage all life groups to be here Sunday night at 6 o'clock on March the 8th. And again, you'll hear more about that before the time comes. I want to mention just a couple of things. First of all, I was told that today is Dr. Van's 90th birthday. How about that? That is tremendous. That's like almost nine decades. That's fantastic. We saw Dr. Van more than once when our kids were growing up, and just appreciate so much the assets that the Vans have been here and the connection they've had with so many families. I also got word that John and Cassie Reed's son, Charlie, became a cadet sergeant. Is that right? Congratulations on that. Yes, sir. And then I've got a note here that, this is a prophecy of what's going to happen. Well, it's an old prophecy, and it already happened. But let's remind ourselves as we get into our worship. We're going to stand and look at these words from Isaiah. And if you would, read the words as we come to them that are bold and underlined. We're going to be talking later on about the idea of looking beyond the here and now and things that are to come. And here's what Isaiah has to say in chapter 35. A highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there, and those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter into Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Let's lift our voices in song. Start out by saying I'm thankful to have Jeff speaking in my absence last week. I was accompanying some of the group to Winterfest. We had a good number of young people and chaperones. We studied the book of Daniel. We had great weather. It was 15 and snowing when we were packing up to go. And we said, we've got to go to the mountains to warm up. And so that's exactly what we did. But thankful for safe travels there and back. Continuing our ongoing theme throughout the year of 2020 vision and trying to see what God wants us to see, I want to talk for a few minutes about the idea of looking beyond the here and now. We're going to be looking at it through the eyes of two characters this morning, two people. And you may have noticed in the songs, especially the first one and the most recent one, we sang these old hymns about Canaan's land. And to Canaan's land, I'm on my way. As a matter of fact, if you are noticing, what Mason read to us was the Song of Moses, right out of the Scriptures. And so we're going to look for a few minutes through the eyes of people in the Bible about the idea of looking beyond the here and now. And I start out with this question. How are things going for you these days? Are they going pretty well? Maybe they are for some of you. There may be others who'd say, not so good right now. Some of you may be going through some very difficult times, and perhaps you haven't shared that with a lot of people. I know all kinds of things are represented whenever we come together on these Sunday mornings. And when that happens, either for good or for bad, it can be very easy to focus on the here and the now. I think that's one thing that Satan wants us to do, is to focus on what's happening right here. And circumstances of life can press in on us sometimes, and we can almost be in despair when we're looking down rather than looking up, or even looking around for help and strength from each other. There's also the pressure to conform to the world, to be like them, to do what they are doing, because this is where we live. We live in the here and now, and we're surrounded by people who several of them might be quite ungodly. So you go through that, and you have that pressure, you have a difficult circumstance, and it can be hard to see how are things ever going to get better. And some people can get into a very deep, dark place with that kind of focus. Well, I want to offer a solution to that for the next few moments, and it's very simply, it's looking beyond the here and now. And what we're going to be doing is looking at four people from the Bible, two from the Old Testament, two from the New Testament. I've got a bit to say about this, and so I decided, rather than having a one-hour lesson, we're going to split this up into two parts, each of which I hope is even less than 30 minutes, but we're going to look at two people from the Old Testament this morning, and the next lesson, two from the New. Our texts, if you'd like to be turning there, are two this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll be there in the second part of the lesson as well, the second lesson, and then Genesis chapter 12. I would encourage you to turn there. We're going to be starting in the book of Hebrews and then going to Genesis. The first person we're going to be looking at is Abraham. As a matter of fact, when we come across Abraham, he is known by his earlier name of Abram. We'll put that slide up on the screen. Listen to what the Hebrew writer has to say in Hebrews chapter 11. Let me read verses 8 and 9. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would afterward receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. We're familiar with the story, and it might be real easy to read these verses without really thinking about what Abraham was being asked to do. His native land was Ur of the Chaldeans. That's where he had grown up. He had kinfolk there. He had lived there for more than 70 years when God called him. All his life, that's what he had known. Ur of the Chaldeans. I don't know, he may have graduated from Ur-U for all I know, but that's none of the story. But then God's call comes to him. And that call is recorded in the first three verses of Genesis 12. Let me remind us of that call. Genesis chapter 12. The Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your kindred, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." God was asking Abram at that time to do something he hadn't thought about, but leave your country, leave your kindred, leave your father's house, leave it all behind. where are we going, God? And the famous answer, to a land that I will show you. Follow me. Do you trust me? Not even really telling you right now. Just follow me. You know that a journey like that, it's got to require a great deal of faith. Leave everything you look at, everything you know, everything that surrounds you, and follow me. And in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 4, the next verse opens with these words. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. He went out not knowing where he was going. And I'm reminded of the words of Jesus in the New Testament, Matthew 19. Everyone who has left houses and brothers or sisters or father or a mother or a wife or a children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. That's exactly what Abraham was being asked to do. Leave your family, leave your land, and follow me. And what Abraham did was to respond to the call of God by completely uprooting himself. Now we may say, well, you know, when he started out, God said, we're to Canaan's land, you're on your way, where the soul never dies, and all of that. Well, it's true that God sent Abram to the land of Canaan, but it wasn't for the purpose of settling down. It was a promise. Abraham lived in the land of Canaan, but he never really settled there. Neither did his son. Neither did his grandson. In the 7th chapter of Acts, Stephen is talking about the history of the Jewish people. And one thing he says there is that Abraham had no inheritance in Canaan. And then he emphasizes it by saying, not even enough to set his foot on. Now, the promise was for Abraham, but not specifically. It was for his seed. But God says, follow me. And Abraham goes out there. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, verse 9, Abraham sojourned. He's just passing through. He's a pilgrim. He's in search of a city. He sojourned in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, the text says, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. It's coming. The inheritance is there. Just believe it. You may not see it right now in the here and now, but go to a land where I will show you. And Abraham goes, and he and his family and his sons and his grandsons, they're all tent dwellers. He never possessed the land of Canaan. Isaac, Jacob. As a matter of fact, you come to the 23rd chapter of Genesis, you read that when Abraham's wife Sarah died, he had to purchase land. He purchased a cave. The cave of Machpelah he purchased in order to have a place to bury his own wife. The promise had not yet been fulfilled. Does that mean that God doesn't keep his word? No, it means that God's timetable isn't always our timetable. That can be frustrating sometimes. Lord, what's the matter with you? I'm looking at my watch and you said, and it's not happening now. And God has to remind us a day's like 1,000 years. 1,000 years is like a day. And he also has to remind us, and we need to be reminded, when God makes a promise, he's going to keep it. And Abram set out. Abraham said, it's not simply about the here and now. I will put my trust in the promises of God. And there can be some deep, dark, difficult days that are happening right now. But God calls us to look beyond the here and now. And what is it that sustains Abraham's faith through all this? Again, going to the Hebrew writer in chapter 11, this time in verse 10. And you see it on the screen. He waited. That's it. He waited. Lord, when are you going to fulfill your promise? Just wait. Just wait. I don't want to wait. I want it now. Just wait. He waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham was willing to wait. It's hard to do sometimes. That's Abraham. He had his eye on something that was beyond Ur. As a matter of fact, It was beyond even the land of Canaan. It was a different city. A city without, which has foundations built by God. A house not made with hands. He believed God's promises. And you see it up on the screen. Abraham looked ahead to something that lay beyond what this world had to offer. That's what kept his faith alive. And you read these familiar words in Hebrews chapter 11 at the beginning of the chapter. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. God, you made a promise. Not seeing it yet. Do you have faith? I tell you what, Abraham had so much faith, you could almost call him, the father of the faithful. That's Abraham. He's looking beyond the here and now. And that faith gives substance to his hope. Someone said that faith is the title deed of things hoped for, and it certainly was in Abraham's case. He's looking ahead to something that lay beyond his own lifetime, and he looks beyond the here and now, and I think that's one thing that kept him going. But one other man I want to look at from the Old Testament, and you see about him in chapter 11 of Hebrews, that man is Moses. Abraham represents the age of the patriarchs when God is speaking to the fathers and delivering his will through them, and Moses represents a different age, as do the two men that we'll look at next time. Moses represents the age of the law when God gave his law to the Israelites, to these direct descendants of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the 12 tribes, and God gives that law to Moses. We read this in verses 24 through 26 of Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Moses was a man who had a lot to lose by this world's standards. I go back to Stephen's speech in the 7th chapter of Acts. He says that Pharaoh's daughter brought Moses up as her own son, and Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. He was mighty in words and deeds. He's right there at the center of world culture, and they've got it going on, and they know all kinds of things, and he's brought up in one of the most powerful and influential nations this world has seen, and he's the son of Pharaoh's daughter, as it were. And you know the story. He's adopted. She has compassion on this little baby, this one baby that's spared, and God's going to use that. Tradition even has it. Some historians, such as Josephus, hint at the idea of Moses being advanced to the rank of general. I mean, he is high placed in Egypt. He's in line, perhaps, even for the throne. There he is. He's got everything. And he's mighty man, words and deeds. For 40 years, he's lived in Egypt. For 40 years, he's built a reputation for himself. For 40 years, he's earned the trust of these people. He owes a great deal of that to the fact that Pharaoh's daughter did raise him as her own son. And then in verse 24 of Hebrews 11, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. It's not so much, I don't think, rejecting her as his mom in that sense, but he said, none of that and none of the trappings. I'm making a break. Instead, I'm going to be called a son of Abraham, in a sense. That's what initially led him, if you remember, to kill an Egyptian who's attacking one of his fellow Hebrews. He's got it all figured out. I'm going to bring deliverance. He was right. He was just a little bit 40 years ahead of his time, and God sends him into the wilderness to think about things. Stephen says Moses supposed his brethren would understand that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand. So he's rejected by the Egyptians and he's rejected by the Israelites, and because no one understands, off he goes. 40 years. 40 years of delay for their deliverance. 40 years I've been... And God says, we got different clocks on. All in good time. See beyond the here and now. Easy to say when they've been in Egypt for year after year after decade after century. Lord, where are you? And now on the verge of deliverance, it's going to be another 40 years. We've got to understand that God calls us to see beyond the here and now. And when deliverance does come about, it comes about at the hands of Moses, the man who had it going on, who had it all, who's right there in Egypt, and he walks away from all of that. And one reason he did was because he knew that everything that Egypt could offer him, it's just temporary, as it is with this world. Again, in the Hebrew, in the text in chapter 11, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin. Not that there wasn't pleasure in sin, not that there wasn't pleasure in Egypt, but he realized it's passing. It's temporary. How temporary, Moses? Well, I don't know, a year, 10 years, a lifetime. A lifetime, that doesn't sound very temporary. It's temporary. The longest life that's ever been lived is temporary. I think he's reflecting on what the psalmist would later say, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. He's making a break. He's making the choice. And I will choose to suffer affliction with God's people because I'm going to serve God. He esteemed, the text says, the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Now, Moses didn't suffer for Christ's sake, but he was reproached in much the same way as Christ was reproached. He was reproached for what he stood for. He suffered affliction because of that. And I'm telling you today, when we stand up for Jesus Christ, there are some people who are not going to like it. They're going to reproach us. They may even persecute us. They may exclude us. And we have to decide, but I can't lose my friends, can I? But I couldn't endanger my job, could I? That's exactly what Moses is doing. So how can you do that? You got to look beyond the here and now. What was it that sustained Moses? What was it that sustained his faith? Well, it was much like Abraham. And the text bears it out very specifically at the end of verse 26. And you see it in that last line. He looked to the reward. That's what kept him going. I think maybe that's the only thing that could have kept him going. Because the here and now wasn't much at all, and he's fleeing for his life. He's an outcast, and everything he's known, it's always in the past. And there he is for just 40 years, day in and day out, literally in the wilderness, in all sorts of ways. Although he's getting a little bit of training out there, is he not? He's learning about herding sheep and getting them to go here and getting them to go there. It's going to serve him well. His background in Egypt, it's going to serve him well when he comes back to help deliver the people. But he's pushed. He's pushed out. And then he comes in and you know the story of deliverance. And then during that time, he's pushed almost beyond endurance for another 40 years as he's trying to lead people who are bucking against him almost every step of the way. And his faith is tested over and over and over again. And the people come to a place called Kadesh, and Moses is at a breaking point to such an extent that he doesn't put God in his place, doesn't lift him up as holy. And God says, Moses, you're not going to the promised land. That's hard to imagine. God kept him out of the promised land. Well, for 1,600 years or so until the Mount of Transfiguration. That's another story. But still he kept going, even after that. And it was not because things were the way that he wanted them to be in the present, but it was because he looked to the reward. Let me put this up on the screen. The here and now may never be the way we would like it to be. And yeah, pop back to that previous slide.
Moses looked ahead to a reward that was greater than what this world had to offer. See, he put it in perspective. He realized that. All that Egypt could give him, there's nothing to compare. All that Egypt could give him is in the here and now. The reward is in heaven. And then pop back to that next slide. It's not about us. How do I want things? Well, I want things to be nice and smooth. I don't want anybody to rock the boat. I don't want anybody to come against me. I want other people to like me. I understand that. That's natural and that's normal. And it's good when people like you to a point. But they can like us if we're following God. They may dislike us when we're following God. And circumstances that we go through, boy, if I were writing this, if I were designing this, I understand that. But it's God. And I don't always understand God. Maybe because He's God and I'm not. And things may not always work out quite the way that we had them planned. And we can give up because of that. And we can decide to quit. And I don't say that lightly. But let's take a lesson from Abraham, who looked ahead at something that lay beyond the here and now. Let's take a lesson from Moses, who looked at the reward that lay beyond this world. The Bible is full of promises concerning that reward. The Apostle Paul told the Colossians in Colossians 3, "Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance." Why? Because you serve Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3, he said, "If any man's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward." The promise is there. It's a guarantee from God. Let's never forget that Jesus himself has a reward for everyone who's going to faithfully serve him. And I hope that can keep us going even when things just look dismal and almost in despair. But we're not alone. Jesus is with us, and hopefully we're with each other, and we see each other through dark times and deep valleys, because we know that a better world awaits every one of God's faithful children. So I ask, first of all, are you a child of God? Have you begun that walk? We offer that invitation every time we come together for you to be born again of water and the Spirit. This very morning, we can witness your baptism into Christ as the old person goes into the water and something new, someone new, a baby comes out, a babe in Christ, washed in the water, washed by the blood, receiving the Holy Spirit of God. Maybe you just need to ask for prayers, because on the other side of that new birth, you've been focusing too much on the here and now. Maybe you need to ask for prayers to get you through a difficult time. You can meet one of our elders in the back. You can come to the front. But whatever it is, let's realize this world's not our home. We're just passing through. The here and now is the here and now. There's something greater ahead. And if you need to grab hold of that and we can help you in any way, let us know right now. Let's sing this song together.